This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North for the week of December the 26th, 2016, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like you to put your television on mute for episode 218 of TVA, the podcast. Oh, Father Time is rolling in on us, Greg.
Man, is it ever. It seems like almost a year that we've been chatting.
Exactly. Or longer.
Or even longer.
Just in this recording itself, it seems like a year. I think already. It's just suffice to say, it's getting the last couple of days around Southern Ontario a bit warmer, but we had our snow in December, so I'm not going to taunt the weather gods.
No, I'm always happy if we have a white Christmas, and we got one, so now I don't care what happens. It can melt, or we can get more. It doesn't matter.
I'm usually dreaming of a green Christmas, to be honest.
Are you?
I don't care. I honestly don't care. And in this case, it wasn't like it was snowing, really. It was just that there was leftover snow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's leftover kind of brown, dirty, greasy snow.
Yeah, now it's getting gross.
The gross snow.
I was dreaming of a green Christmas, too, and I got some green. I got some green in my stocking. Did you?
Some green?
Some green. Money. Some green?
Oh, I thought you were talking about weed.
No! No!
Okay. Evidently, we have two different perspectives on what green is.
Clearly.
We have a chock-full calendar coming up for the, especially not necessarily too much for the last couple days of 2016, but starting right off in 2017, a whole whackload of stuff coming down. We got a couple articles to talk to you about, too, and we got a weird one at the end where the U.S. is trying to influence the CRTC, and I don't know where that's coming from, but we'll toss that a bit around. But before we get there, it is time for the in-between holidays beverage update.
Yes.
So what are you enjoying on this midday as we record in-between Christmas and New Year's?
Yes, it's 11:15 a.m. Eastern Time, so I'm not drinking anything with alcohol in it. I am, however, drinking a coffee with eggnog in it. I knew that you being a big fan of the Nog, I knew that you'd be excited to hear this. So,
oh, yes. Thrilled.
Yes. So I put a little splash of Irresistibles Eggnog, which is the Metro or A&P house brand. Had a little splash of that in my coffee this morning. So
Just a little splash.
A little tinge, just enough to color the coffee and give it a little bit of flavor. So that's what I'm having. And then later on today, I was actually given some beer from my sister. We did a gift exchange. I know I'm already giving too much information. But regardless, I got 6 bottles of beer from this local brewery in Brantford called Bell City Brewery. Mm-hmm. And so she gave me a handful of beers. So I will be having one of those later this afternoon or through dinner. That'll be my alcoholic one. How about you? Did Santa or any of his elves bring you any bourbon?
No, but it's tough to buy bourbon for me because if you're buying bourbon in Ontario for me, I pretty much have it.
So they should just give you a gift card?
That's possible.
Yes.
Or it's really best not to buy bourbon for me unless you're coming from somewhere outside of Ontario.
Okay.
Because, I mean, and don't get me wrong, it's not that I wouldn't appreciate having a second or third bottle. But what I did find, it was a little bit of a Christmas miracle, Greg.
Mm, mm.
There's a bourbon that I really like, which is a pretty low price point, about $35 a bottle, called W.L. Weller Special Reserve. And it really only comes out once a year or so, and it hits the stores and is usually sold out within a day or two, and then is gone. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, on the new LCBO app, which I'm giving mad props to the LCBO for their new app, by the way, it's fantastic. Yep. It actually, as you scroll through every single, as you scroll through all of your favorite liquors, it tells you where the nearest bottle is.
Yeah, right.
I love that. Like, automatically. You don't even have to request it anymore. It's just like, here's the nearest bottle. Thank you. I found at a store literally 2 minutes or 3 minutes from my house, they had 10 bottles of W.L. Weller Special Reserve.
Wow.
Now, it's not a fancy bourbon by any means, but it's very good for the price.
Okay.
And they had 10 where no one else has any. All of a sudden, they have 10. And so I found this out later in the day because I was never expecting it. I showed up there, and I didn't see any on the shelves, and I thought, oh, I missed it. And so I went in there, and I said, hey, so do you have any of this left? And they go, I don't know what that is, which was what most of the time what I get when I walk in after bourbon. Let me go check. And it's like, and so one of the staff says to the other staff, after that night shift last night, I don't know what they got out here. And sure enough, they had 10 bottles, which they got in the day before, and it wasn't put out.
Oh.
So it was all still in the back. So I bought 3 bottles of it.
Good for you.
Exactly. And so W.L. Weller Special Reserve, in the States, you can actually get it for 20 or 22 bucks or something like that.
Man.
Here it's like about 35 bucks. So, I'll only read from the website I'm on right now is breakingbourbon.com, and they have their review of W.L. Weller Special Reserve. They've got the nose, the palate, and the finish. So I guess I'll read the finish because the finish seems to be. Although it starts sweet, it finishes with some amount of bite. The oak comes through during the finish and provides a bit of warmth to the sip. The bite doesn't last long and acts as more of a finisher than a deal breaker. On some sips, the alcohol does reveal itself quite a bit during the finish. Otherwise, the sweet honeysuckle finishes off the sip nicely.
Man, bourbon and honeysuckle, man. That's
I know.
It's in there.
If you ask me to describe what honeysuckle tastes like, I have no fucking clue.
No, that's a flower, right?
Is it? It might be.
I think it is.
There you go.
So just munch on some flour, some honeysuckle to figure out what their bourbon tastes like.
I have no idea whatsoever. So there you go. W.L. Special Reserve, if you can find it. If you can find it and you're new to the bourbon game, that's a good one to start off.
And there's 6 bottles in here, Anthony.
There are only 6. I bought 3. There was 10 originally. They say they have 7, but one of them was actually leaking.
Oh.
I said, I'll buy it for cheaper. Yeah. They wouldn't do that. I said, I'll buy it for like 10 bucks from you.
Gently used.
I'll drink it on the way home.
Yeah. There you go.
So there's the beverage update for this episode. We had a poll, Greg.
Yes, we did.
We had a poll. We had a poll out on the last episode of all of our favorite episode titles of this past year. And the votes were just streaming in from all over the continent.
Yeah, we had 8 people voted, and I was one of them. You didn't even vote.
I didn't vote. I didn't want to impugn the validity of the survey.
Right. You didn't want to sully it.
Exactly. So let's go with our top 5. These are the top 5 best podcast titles from 2016.
Yeah, that's right. So let's start out with number 5, and this one got 1 vote, and it was Supple Entry.
Someone is perverted out there, that's all I'm
saying. That was actually my vote. That was what I voted for. Coming in at number 4 with 1 vote was Corn Dogs and Horn Dogs. Coming in at number 3, well, these are all tied, I guess, because they all got 1 vote each, these 3. You're a Precipitous Drop-Off.
See, I never thought that would make the top 10.
No.
The top 5.
No. Coming in at number 2 with 2 votes was One Step Up from Tang.
There you go.
And the number 1 vote getter with 38% of the vote, or 3 of 8 votes, it's Hardwood and Wicked Beaver.
Indeed. Hardwood and Wicked Beaver wins our first Pass the Post.
It was never really in doubt, was it?
I don't know.
I don't think
maybe.
It was. You said it enough times. I think you sullied the vote because you'd mentioned it so many times.
Well, this was this was well before we knew we were going to be doing a poll.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
So there wasn't much to actually sully. let's take the time right now at the end of 2016 to jump into the calendar.
Well,
that's the new, that's not just the sound, that's the
I don't know why I did the it's not like I had to think about what I had to do.
We only have 1 item coming up on the evening of the 27th, Tuesday, which you might be listening, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, which is the Tuesday, then you might have time. If not, you'll have to go into your pre-recorded recordings or your on-demand and figure all this out. But is the season finale of Kim's Convenience and Mr. D.
Yeah, that's right. And the good thing about CBC is if you did end up missing these two, because it's, you know, it's really hard to keep track. I think people are kind of in cruise control between Christmas and New Year's. I know I am, because you brought up this fact that there were shows on and I didn't even remember that these were both on. But yeah, Kim's Convenience, which we already know has been renewed for another season on CBC, a season two. It's a two-part season finale tonight, so there's two back-to-back episodes, and then that's followed up by the season finale of Mr. D, and we're still waiting to hear if that'll be back for another season or not. If you missed these episodes and you want to go and watch them, you didn't get a chance to PVR them, go to cbc.ca, because they'll be streaming the episodes after Tuesday night. So overall, I was really happy with both shows this season. Kim's Convenience really knocked it out of the park with regard to the storytelling and the characters. Mr. D was a very strong season as well. So I'm very happy with both of those shows.
Yeah, it's funny. I may be jaded because I'm a teacher, but ever since I watched Mr. D for the first maybe four or five episodes of the first season, and it kind of fell apart for me at that point. And maybe it's because I was being a bit too literal in my perceptions of it.
Yeah, and I've heard that too. I've heard that the teachers either love it or they hate it. So yeah, you well, I guess you don't necessarily hate it, but you just definitely you don't watch it.
Yeah. No, there's no. I don't have the time to have animosity towards a TV show. You don't have the
time to hate. No.
But there you go. So the two season finale is happening on the 27th, and that like wraps up 2016. There's not a lot happening before January, but once January hits, indeed, even January the 1st, New Year's Day, oh, it starts to really come. So we've got on January 1st, New Year's Day, the debut of Ransom on Global.
Yeah, this is a co-production, Canada, U.S. with CBS and France. And it is about hostage negotiators, a team of hostage negotiators. And it's based on the real story of a gentleman out of France that's a hostage negotiator. And his hook is that he and his team, nobody carries guns. So they prefer to use words to defuse situations. I've seen the first episode. Five episodes were filmed here in and around Toronto to stand in for North America, and now production has moved over to the south of France because the south of France is going to stand in for European locales. A couple Canadians on board, Brandon J. McLaren and Nazneen Contractor, are both on the cast. Frank Spotnick, the guy behind The X-Files and The Man in the High Castle, created this show. And yeah, I've seen the first episode. I liked it. It's very much, you know, flashpointy in tone, lots of tension. And of course, with the fact that the negotiators don't have any guns, means that they need to use their brains and their words to solve the problem. So, but you know, not a bad first episode, not really anything groundbreaking that we haven't seen before. You know, I don't know if it's going to burn up the ratings or anything like that. It'll be interesting to see what the ratings are like for CBS. And whether they end up going forward with this. It's a little bit weird. This Ransom actually feels a little bit more like a summer show than a mid-season show, but we'll see what happens.
Whenever I hear that it's like a North American-styled show mixed in with a French production, I always think of the television attempt at The Transporter.
Yeah. You know what? That's probably a better comparison. It's kind of got that same look that the international productions tend to have, like Transporter. That's very good. Very well done.
I don't mind that look, but it does. There's a different feel. There's a different atmosphere that comes across automatically from shooting like that. So for an American audience, it's either going to work or it's going to fail.
Yep.
I mean, like, I don't think there's an in-between here.
No, yeah. I don't think so. No. Yeah. It's either going to do really well in the ratings or it'll never come back.
Yeah. Also on New Year's Day, the season finale of Blood and Water.
Yep, season two wraps up, and the case is going to be solved, and there'll be, I imagine, a cliffhanger, and that'll leave us wondering whether there'll be a season three or not.
Indeed. Now, the next day on the Monday, we've got the season finale of Travelers on Showcase.
Yeah, that's with Eric McCormick. It's done very well for Showcase, and it just launched the whole season. Season one dropped, as they say, on Netflix and all the other territories around the world. And if you go by social media, people are loving this show, and I really liked it. It's a futuristic drama that we've talked about before. I think it deserves a second season, just... with regard to the writing and the characters, I've really liked it, so I've got my fingers crossed. And it doesn't hurt that guys like Eric McCormick and Brad Wright, who created it, and he's the guy behind Stargate. I think that helps the pedigree and the strength of the show coming back.
Right. And anything that seems like it's kind of sci-fi out there a little bit, it seems like it's made for Canada.
Yep. Filmed out in Vancouver, like all of the sci-fi shows
like
seem
every,
to be.
Like every other sci-fi superhero.
Almost, yeah.
On Tuesday, January 3rd, we have the debut of Heavy Rescue 401.
Yeah, and this is from the same folks that do Highway Through Hell out in BC. This is spotlighting the people here on the 400 series highways, the tow truck operators, the police, and the fire trucks that work to keep the 401 series clear. And, you know, out in the West Coast, they have to deal with mountains. But here in Ontario, you know, not only are they dealing with bad drivers like they do out west, but also speed is always a factor. With these transport trucks, they need to get there and get there fast. And that leads to a lot of accidents. And then throw in some of the bad weather that we can get. And that just makes for a lot of fender benders and injuries. And these guys need to keep the roads clear. I've got a couple interviews going up and a feature story on the show. I watched the first two episodes, and if you like Highway Through Hell, you're absolutely going to love this one.
Well, and the thing, too, that people don't realize about the 401 is that I think, if not mistaken, at its widest, it is the widest highway in North America.
Yeah, it is, and the producers actually say that it's the busiest highway in North America as well.
It's like at its widest, I think it's 16 lanes.
Yeah, something like that, right through the heart of Toronto, yeah.
It's insane.
But also... I was just going to say, some other ones that they feature is some of the 400 series highways up and around near Sarnia and in southwestern Ontario.
Right.
So it isn't
the 402, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that. Yeah, I think it is the 402. You're right. So it isn't just pure based in and around Toronto. They also go to other areas around the southern Ontario as well.
Yeah, and the reason that the 402, like, so the 401, actually, when you get past London, there's a stretch from London to Chatham-Windsor area, where it's just a lot of agricultural fields, and when the wind whips up in the winter, the snow just sails across it.
Yeah, total whiteout. I've been caught in that stuff before.
Yeah. Also, the return of Underexposed on APTN on Tuesday the 3rd.
Yeah, no, this is a show that I hadn't heard about, so I had to look it up. It's a documentary series that follows action sports photojournalists and kind of... documents the adrenaline-filled challenges that they face to get the shots and the struggles they have to find and sell the next big extreme sports story. So it's all about sports journalism. Season 3.
Oh, is it specifically about extreme sports, though?
It says extreme sports.
Right. I would just think that would be easier to... it might be easier to gain access and follow around than following around the big four sports, right?
Like, yeah.
Trying to get access to some of those arenas and stuff like that might be more difficult.
There you go.
Yeah. So on Thursday, we have the return of Four Senses, which is on AMI TV.
Yeah, this is a cooking show. Christine Ha, who won MasterChef, and she's blind, and Carl Heinrich, who won season 2 of Top Chef Canada, and he is sighted, and the two of them cook up dishes, and they have celebrities stop by. Steve Anthony is the first one, episode 1. Colin and Justin drop by for an episode, as well as Luba Goy. And the idea is, I mean, this is a cooking show.
So you're saying it's Canadian.
It's Canadian. It's very... Did I mention it was Canadian? Did I mention the Canadian celebrities that stop by? You know, they make sure the two hosts, they describe what they're doing for the blind and partially sighted viewers. But at its heart, this is a cooking show. It just happens to be on AMI TV and for the blind and visually impaired. But anybody can tune in and watch the show and learn something.
Right. It sounds like that somewhere in the background they should have Bruno Jorsi's microwave.
Yes.
Maybe I think so.
They do have one. I don't know whether it's his, but they do have one out there.
Just, you know, it's just a tribute to the old school Canadian cooking
shows.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. On Friday the 6th, the debut on Gusto of Urban Vegetarian.
Now, I don't really know anything about this show, but I don't think you really need to know about this. It's all kind of in the title. It's a 15-episode, 30-minute series. Yummy meal options that won't expand the waistline. Guilt-free and delicious. That's what Bell Media says about the urban vegetarian.
Well, that assumes that if you're cooking vegetarian, that you can't gain weight. And I know plenty of people who are vegetarian who gain weight.
Yes, me too.
Yes. Could this be hipster vegetarian, maybe?
It doesn't say. It doesn't say. This is all from Gusto, this brand new lifestyle network that Bell Media replaced much, much more music or much three with.
Or much loud or...
Yeah, what was the other
or
one?
Much soft much, or
much rap, much adult, something like that. Yes. I can't remember what they all were.
Yeah, they had a bunch of them. Also, the return on the Discovery Channel of Mayday on Friday the 6th.
Yeah, this show just keeps plugging along. And if you want to go back in the podcast files, you spoke to the guy that did the narration on Mayday, correct?
Yes. Yes, that was about 6 months ago or so at least.
It was over a year, I think.
Oh, was it over a year?
Well, it was probably the last time the show came back.
Oh, it could have been.
Yeah.
So it literally could have been a year.
Yeah.
See how time disappears. It's like the Bermuda Triangle, really. I mean,
just lost.
Exactly. With a polar bear on an island. So the return of Mayday for, I think, like season 85 or something like that.
I'm not sure. 9, 10, 11.
Yeah, it's a long time this show's been on. And the last thing we'll mention, because we plan on being back to record on the 9th, on the 8th, we have the return of Hard Rock Medical on Sunday the 8th. And that's on TVO, which is Ontario's public broadcaster, not Canada's public broadcaster, but Ontario's public broadcaster. But you can also find it, A, online, or B, I think it's on APTN as well?
Yeah, it'll be on APTN in February as a second window. And I did confirm with the folks at TVO that they're going to be putting all of the episodes of this season of Hard Rock Medical on the TVO.org website the day after the broadcast of the first episode here in Ontario. So if you want to just binge watch all of them, they'll be on the website. Big change for this season of Hard Rock Medical is that they moved to North Bay out of Sudbury. A couple reasons for that is that production of Hollywood stuff as well as Canadian stuff has filled Sudbury so much that it necessitated the move, just because they don't have the crews to support it anymore. Sure. And also that North Bay was offering up a little extra tax credits, and they had a partnership with Canadore College where they used the film and television students. You know, they paid them to do this, but helped. They had the students help out with the editing and the editing suites. They had 75 kids actually worked on this season of Hard Rock Medical, so they're getting a hands-on education as to what it takes to make it in the Canadian TV industry.
There you go. And when we come back and record on the 9th, there's a whole bunch more shows that are going to be coming up. Some CBC favorites are going to be returning.
Yes, and apparently I'll be away, but it sounds as though there's going to be a special guest hosting with you for that one.
Special guest. All I know is I will probably once again lose the beverage update.
It won't be Bruno Gerussi.
That's what I was hoping for. That takes us away from the calendar. I believe it's
You just fix that in post.
Yeah, I could probably do that. Just a couple quick articles before we wrap up the show. APTN is bringing some new stuff in for the new year. Not only do we mention some of the stuff like Hard Rock Medical Season 3, which we already mentioned, which was originally produced by TVO, but there's some new titles on there as well, Greg.
Yeah, a new series called Tribal Police that's going to be debuting in March, so we'll get a chance to talk about that in the new year a little bit more. But what APTN has described it as is riding along as the real-life drama unfolds with some tribal police services. It's a documentary series that explores the challenges faced by the officers serving on BC's only tribal police force. So that sounds pretty interesting and kind of expands that world and gives us a peek behind the scenes. So I'm interested in seeing that one.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds like it could be interesting. Again, it's one of those things where we've heard of the... We've lived through the concept of police force shows before, as far back as Cops, like 20, 25 years ago. And it just depends on how much you can derivate from that and actually show a bit of the community as opposed to just the police work.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what the case is going to be with this one, is that you're going to see the community and what the you know, the culture, how the citizens in that area kind of view the police, and that the relationship between the law and the communities, that's always, you know, depending on what part of the country you're in, it can be a good relationship or a bad one. So I think that it'd be really interesting to see it within this microcosm.
Right. So what else do we have? We've got a couple other ones coming up as well.
Yeah, Hard Rock Medical, that'll be February the 8th. So if you miss the debut or don't watch it on TVO, you can watch it on APTN. Season 2 of Guilt Free Zone. And this is hosted by Derek Miller, who's an Aboriginal singer-songwriter. He does rock music. He actually reminds me a lot of Colin James with regard to his guitar playing. Okay. And he has this kind of, it's a really offbeat talk show. He has on mainly Aboriginal and First Nations guests, musicians, actors, and actresses to talk about, kind of their lives and their relationships within the community that they work and live in. But it can get bawdy sometimes. He's had some weird people play interesting characters. There was a guy that came on and played the devil, and there was a guy the same guy I think played Jesus as well. It was a little bit weird. I feel as though maybe they were serving drinks while production was rolling. But that'll be back for season 2, Saturday, March the 18th on APTN, excuse me.
Okay. And there's also, I noticed there's a return of some season 2s, but we've also got a couple world premieres as well, so...
Yeah, Dene: A Journey, Season 2. It's a documentary series, so it's Indigenous urbanites on a journey to connect with their culture, discovering themselves along the way. That starts on March 7th, and once I've got some screeners, I can give a little bit more information into that. Already spoke about Underexposed. The last one is Hit the Ice. It's Season 5 of Hit the Ice. I've never seen this show. It's a youth series. See dreams come true as the best young male Aboriginal hockey players compete in an intense training camp. I'm going to check this out. I think this will be really interesting. So once I get some screeners in advance of the February the 2nd return, I'll let you know what I think of it.
So very, very cool. Even more of a reason. And like we said in the past, and it's worth repeating, this is one of those... APTN is one of those networks where even if you miss season 1 of a show... you go onto their website and likely you'll be able to catch up with every single episode that you missed.
Yep. All of Wild Archaeology is up there. All of Taken is up there. Definitely go to their website.
Another story that just kind of launched this week and made a bit of hubbub in the headlines. Corner Gas will be expanding to an animated series.
Yes. Now I wrote. Yeah. Go ahead.
I
go ahead.
I don't begrudge any franchise from doing what it wants to with its own franchise. It's just one of those things where, do you really need the reboot when you could do something new?
Yes, and that was the first thing that I asked Virginia Thompson, who's an executive producer on this show. She was on the original show as well. I said, why are you guys doing this? And she said, well, the intention was never there to do this. They're doing it because two reasons. One, the Corner Gas fans wanted more. They wanted another feature film after seeing the first one. But the producers and Brent Butt all said, no, we don't want to do that. But something that was always in the back of their minds, especially in Brent Butt's mind, was an animated series. They had had discussions about an animated series actually even before the live action series of Corner Gas came out, just because he wanted to be a comic book writer and had actually started his own publishing company and published his own comic books before Brent went into stand-up. So this was always in the back of his mind. And following the feature film, he and David Story and Virginia Thompson would kind of talk and say, you know, do we want to do something? What do we want to do? And the animated thing kept coming up. So it's taken 2 years for this to come to fruition. Everybody involved said that they didn't want to do this unless they could tell something new with regard to the animated series. And where the live action series had weird, wacky dream sequences, they say that in this animated series, they can really expand. There are things that they couldn't do with live action production, obviously, that they can do with animated. Everybody is back. All the voice actors are back to the original voices, of course, except for the late Janet Wright, who passed away. And, you know, she was in talks. This had all been in the works when she passed away. So they're currently casting for somebody to do the voice of Emma. But I have the same concerns that you do. Until I see a first episode of this, I still have that preconceived notion in my mind of why are these guys getting back together again? Did they really, especially after the the case where Brent and his wife Nancy went off and did Hiccups, and that only lasted, I think it was 2 seasons before it was canceled. Fred Uenuwik went off and did Dan the Mayor. That only lasted a couple of seasons. You can't help but think, well, is this all that any of these folks are going to be known for? I don't think so. I think that that's really unfair. I think that that just shows you the popularity of Corner Gas, that that's what everybody thinks of these folks as. But like I said, until I see a first episode, I kind of am like tentatively thinking, why do you guys really have to do this? So we'll see.
Well, and I guess the big question for me is, if you are a fan of Corner Gas, is this show going to be enough like the original for you that you're still going to want to watch it? If you are not a fan of Corner Gas, why would you pick up this show?
Absolutely. And from what I've seen from the Corner Gas fans on social media, they're very, very excited about this. So anything to do with Corner Gas, they're all in. But yeah, I have all the same concerns. I have all the same concerns you do. I don't know how this is going to be. It's going to turn out. We'll find out later in 2017.
Indeed. So there you go. Now, to take us to our weird and wacky story of the week, we talked about, it was almost a year ago, wasn't it, that the CRTC had made their big decision on the Super Bowl ads.
Yeah.
How they were going to say that the CRTC basically, JP Blais said, we had a poll, and the thing that everybody said bothered them the most was the fact that they couldn't watch American ads.
Yeah,
during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and it was like 100 people.
Yeah, like that was huge. That's our mandate. We got to make sure. So the CRTC decided that we are going to make it mandatory that they allow, what is it, Canadian, that you basically can't do simultaneous substitution, that you have to show American ads.
Yes, that's right.
So Marco Rubio,
former Republican presidential hopeful Marco Rubio,
yes. who is still something for Florida? Is it one of the senators? I think it's one of the senators for Florida. Maybe, I don't know.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
Yeah, or not. So there you go. Basically, Marco Rubio has written a letter to the CRTC, along with Republican Senator Ron Johnson, to warn that the policy undermines the business relationship between the NFL and its Canadian broadcast partner and could undermine Canada-U.S. relations.
Yeah.
So they wrote a letter to Ambassador David McNaughton on December the 20th saying that they hope Canada will reverse its policy. So what I don't understand here is, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, the CRTC has mandated that if a Canadian network picks up the game, that they are going to have to start showing the original broadcaster's commercials with it.
That's right. Yes.
So how is Canada seeing American commercials undermining Canada-U.S. relations?
I have no clue.
I would think that the flip side would have been the problem.
Yes, I think so as well.
Like, if you're a U.S. senator, then you would think that you would want U.S. ads to be seen, especially in border cities.
Yes,
north of the border as well.
Yes, yes. This doesn't make any sense to me at all. I don't know why he would care, for exactly the reason that you.
Oh, I know why he cares. I just haven't got there yet.
Okay, go ahead. Why does he care?
Here's why he cares, because he knows that the NFL, which makes tens of millions of dollars from Global or whoever it is buying the rights to the game, is now going to be losing money because the Canadian network won't want to buy it.
Oh, see, you're so smart. I never thought of that.
And so the NFL has leaned into Marco Rubio. They probably made a nice contribution to his campaign this last election. And said, we have a real problem with this. We need you to step up for us and make sure that those Canadian networks are still going to bid 10 or 20 or 30 or million or $50 million or $100 million to show the Super Bowl on their Canadian networks. That's my guess. Anyway.
I think that's a fair guess. I think that's a very fair guess.
But still, why a senator from Florida is wading into this is just beyond me. And this is, don't get me wrong. I mean, this is something where ACTRA is also trying to change the CRTC as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and if you look down at the bottom of the article, they've got some clear and obvious reasons why they believe that Canadian commercials are good.
Yep.
You know, they talk about jobs, they talk about opportunities for Canadian performers, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's fair ball.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect to see those ads when you're talking about job protection, but when you see Marco Rubio attached to it, when the only reason that he could possibly care about what commercials are showing in Canadian televisions is because the NFL won't be making its money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a little bit scary for me. Anyway. But it just seems odd. By the way, the other thing that we didn't mention, which we probably should mention, is since we've talked last, Amazon Prime Canada.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yes.
Yes, so I'm waiting until I'm going on vacation, so I'm waiting until I come back, but I'm definitely going to be getting I'll be paying the $89 for the Amazon membership, because not only now am I going to get the two day shipping, I'm going to be able to watch The Man in the High Castle, I'll be able to watch Transparent, Red Oak, Mozart in the Jungle, and I'm assuming, unless they...
And that's about it.
Well,
it's not a vast library.
No, it's not a vast library of original television shows, but what will be interesting is to see whether Canadians will be able to weigh in on the pilots, because Amazon does this where they'll throw up, you know, 6 or 7 pilot episodes, and then they ask their members to vote on their favorite episode, and then that's the show that gets greenlit, and that's how Red Oaks ended up on the air or on Amazon, because the subscribers voted for it to be there. So I'm going to be interested in that. What about you? Are you gonna shell it out and get that?
Well, I've already got Amazon Prime.
Okay,
so it's already there for me now. I mean, we kind of got caught up in Stranger Things at the beginning of the holidays, so yeah. we kind of went through all of that. But Man in the High Castle looks like probably the best entry show.
Yeah,
to kind of get us into it, so we may be doing that fairly soon. We'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, I mean, it's worth a shot. I've heard great things about Transparent. To me, there's a bit more of a... even though it seems like a show, and this is just me, it seems like it's a show with an agenda. And when you have a show with an agenda that kind of has that that prescribed approach to it, you know, maybe it takes a little bit more. When you want to wade into it, you want to wade into it prepared.
Okay.
It's not like one of those things where it's just like, I'm going to put this on for a freewheel and easy kind of thing.
You've got to invest and you got to pay attention.
What did
you think of Stranger Things? I know it's not a Canadian show, but what did you think of it?
Oh, I thought it was really good. Yeah. I'd heard a lot of people say they liked it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, which we're just trying to get started on right now, is The OA.
Yeah, I haven't started to watch that yet.
But apparently, like, I've just seen the first two episodes, and okay. It's not too bad.
Okay.
But Stranger Things was really good, and like, I mean, I didn't realize until afterwards that there had already been award nominations going out to it, and like, it was doing very well with the awards going up.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so it's been pretty good, and so that wraps up whatever stories we have over the holidays, which, like I say, isn't much, but the calendar is going to be chock full in January with a whole bunch of new stuff as the new seasons and returning spring premieres or something like that are coming out. I don't know.
It's like you said, January is pretty dense, and then we get stuff into February, and we even got stuff in March. So if you go to the website tv-eh.com and you click on calendars near the top there, they're set up all beautifully color coded, and you can plan out the next few months of television.
Set your PVRs to them. That's what we're saying.
Absolutely.
Exactly, Greg. Why don't you tell people where they can find you when you're not here or on vacation?
Yeah, you can find me running the show over at TVA, tv-eh.com. I'm also running the Twitter account, which is at tv_eh. My own Twitter account is at greg_david. And if you go to tva.com, we've got links on the left-hand side that'll take you to our Instagram account, also our YouTube account. We've got some behind-the-scenes videos up there and some interviews as well. Yeah, all the links to social media are there. How about you, Anthony? Where can people find you?
Every other podcast that I do, you can find at anthonymarco.com. You can find me on Twitter at anthonymarco. And if you'd like to support the show, by all means, go to our Patreon site, patreon.com/TV_EH. Even if it's just a buck or two a month or a buck an episode, whatever you can afford, whatever, you know, the value for value model, whatever you feel we bring value into your life. And for some people, I don't know if that's anything at all. But, you know, if you enjoy our meager meanderings every couple of weeks or so, plus some of the interviews that we do and some of the conversations that we have with Canadian television personalities, we encourage you to help support the show in that way as well.
Absolutely.
There you go. I believe for 2016, that wraps up another episode this year.
Huh? Yeah, uh-huh. I like that.
And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.